The midterm elections are about a month away, and both parties are furiously trying to make their case to the electorate. In a year marked by historic inflation and a seismic Supreme Court ruling on abortion, many political experts are expecting unusually heavy turnout. If that is to happen, America's young adults could play a big role in it. But what do they want or care about? Are they Democrats, Republicans, or independents? Welcome to The Gaggle, a podcast by the Arizona Republic and azcentral.com. Each week, we take a closer look at the state's political stories that affect you with reporters, experts, and special guests. I'm Ron Hansen. I cover national politics for The Republic. This week, we're talking to some young adults to find out what's on their minds. This demographic has often sat it out in midterms, but today's supercharged partisan political environment is reaching them too. If you think inflation is hitting your pocketbook hard, think about what pricey gas or big jumps in rent mean to someone near the bottom of the income ladder. Does abortion really affect you? Well, this is the age group facing pregnancy the most. Younger adults may be the fool's gold of American politics.
He's been talking about this for a long time and hasn't changed his stance or it's not wishy-washy at all.
Everything the man says is just absolutely wonderful.
I feel like he has a fantastic plan to help the country out and to help my generation.
There are so many of them. They're impressionable and energetic. Turn them on to voting, and they can upend an election model. More often, they sit it out, handing extra electoral clout to their elders. It's said that government belongs to those who show up. The gaggle went in search of some of the younger adults who are thinking about what that means and what they want.
I got engaged in politics actually at a fairly young age in Illinois. And really for me, the catalyst was wanting to make a big impact on the world and wanting to change lives for the better. And I think the best way to do that is by electing Republicans across the country.
I do notice that a lot of like people my age aren't so involved, but I also feel like it's because there aren't a lot of resources for us to get involved.
Some of my friends' groups are very politically charged and they like to talk about it all the time and they're always very much vote. And then I have other friends who think that the system is so broken that it's a waste of time to vote. So they don't.
I find it very important to not only vote, but to be educated on what you're voting on.
Both parties want every vote they can get. And every candidate will tell you they want to appeal to younger adults as much as anyone else. But the reality is younger voters require extra time and energy for operations where time and money are scarce and the payoff is limited.
Well, since we moved the voting age to age 18 and we've tracked voting patterns since 1972, the highest voting participation we saw was in 1972, and it was about 55%.
That's Tom Riley. He co-directs the Center for an Independent and Sustainable Democracy at Arizona State University. He's looked at data on young voters and sees a trend.
We pretty much mirrored that in 2020 for young people. In between, it was quite low. So to answer your question, I think it remains to be seen. You know, was the 18 and 20 a blip? Will we continue seeing this type of participation? I think, we have new challenges. In 1972, we had a significant participation in the two-party system. Now we've seen a significant reversal on that. There's every indication that the midterm voting in 22 will mirror 2018. And 2018 saw almost a 10% increase in voting than the prior midterm, which is all real good news. We're still below 50% though.
The young are one of the bigger reasons why. It's easy to think it's because 20-year-olds just don't care, and that's true for many of them. But Riley said there are other things that bring down voter participation.
when we look at the youth voter. I mean, many individuals have looked at voting and say it's a habit formed over time. And young people haven't developed that habit, right? So as like everybody else, we get influenced by our friends and peers. And as we get older, more people of our friends and peers vote. And so we do so. So one explanation is that perhaps young people haven't developed that habit. The other issue that seems to impact youth vote is some of the situations they may find themselves in. So many might be in a temporary housing situation, which will impact how embedded they are in the community, particularly for down ballot issues, right? You know, whether they really feel moved on it. But equally important is for many young people, they don't understand the process. And that may be surprising to many people because you're saying, well, voting's easy. Well, no, it can be complex. And depending upon what jurisdiction, what state you live in, and what the state laws are, it can be a challenge. And when young people are confronted with, you know, go look and find out about the issues, find out about how to vote, they're embarrassed to say perhaps they don't know where to look.
Some, like Martin Dreyfus, a journalism student at ASU, are willing to do the work. He realized a connection between what he was learning in school and what was on the ballot.
In the past, it was just something that came around elections, but as I've gone further in my education, it's honestly become more of an obsession because almost every project I do for school, every essay I write, every story I get intrigued in is usually something to do with politics, whether it's the education or the economy or an ethical issue that we're facing. It's become very important to me, and I feel like a very vital time in American history to be a part of it and try to make a difference in whatever way each individual feels best.
As he grew more politically aware, Dreyfus found that his outlook shifted. He's an independent who is sometimes the hardest voter for campaigns to count on.
I used to say I leaned quite a bit left, but over time, I feel like the extremes have kind of gone a lot further to each side, and I feel more comfortable being in the middle. I don't think any one party's ideology can be perfect. I don't think my ideology is perfect. So I think it's very important to look at multiple perspectives, rein in, you know, what you believe is most important about an issue and make your judgment based on the facts that you've been presented and the opinions that you then have based on those facts. I don't think you can just blindly follow what a politician or what a party tells you to believe, because then you're going to find yourself in a corner kind of defending something that in your heart you know isn't right.
Adrian Driggs, who works in digital marketing and ad sales in Phoenix, is also an independent. The 33-year-old follows politics, and she welcomes her friends to do the same, but she isn't pushing an agenda for a system she finds deeply flawed.
I would say that I am probably kind of middle of the road there. I feel like I actively do what I can to stay informed about topics that I think are extremely important to me and my own personal priority and the things that I think affect me and the people, you know, in our community at like a basic rights level, of course. But I also am not the person that you're going to ever find choosing to bring up politics as a topic with most people. I think our government as a whole has been so puppeteered by the upper classes at this point. And there's been so many layers of, you know, the fundraising, the money that comes in and out, like the business structure of it as a whole is just so much more controlled by corporations and larger monetary entities at this point that it's not really a voice of the people at all anyways. I am not a fan of our current government structure at all. I think it is a complete mess and it is completely corrupt. And I think that it doesn't represent the people at all.
For 18-year-old Maria Piaras, the American system is a big upgrade over the alternative she's seen firsthand. Piaras lives in Glendale. Her mother is American and her father is Mexican. Like many younger adults, her life now is heavily influenced by her family.
I was born in Prescott Valley. We lived there for a couple years. I was too young to remember too much of all of that. But I remember at the age of 4, we had to move to Mexico because my father was deported. And that's where I learned to speak, read, and write in Spanish. English is actually my second language. So yeah, we just lived in Mexico for a while. My mom had to go back and forth so that she can make some type of income for us so that we can survive out there, because we lived in a very small, it's called El Rancho. It's very small, like, community, and there isn't very many opportunities. There's about one school within, like, the whole, like, radius of, like, I want to say, like, 15 miles. There's one school. And then the city's 2 hours away, so we had to, like, anytime we needed to go for run any errands, we had to drive, like, 2 hours. Even the hospitals were 2 hours away, so it was definitely a changer from, like, here in the living in the States.
The experience made her keenly aware of what Americans can sometimes take for granted.
Just going out into the city took 2 hours. Not everyone has that type of transportation. Not everyone has that type of money. And I was only lucky because I am an American citizen. I was lucky enough to be born here. And I was able to get out of that, and I came here and I got myself a better education. Out there, my education was being taught by people in the community, and I wasn't even sure, like, about what level of education they had.
Brady Smith's mother was involved in the League of Women Voters when he was growing up in Illinois. It sparked a civic awareness and political activism at an early age.
You know, started off just kind of doing the door knocking, the phone calling, and putting in yard signs for folks. You learn persuasion skills real fast when you're trying to persuade someone to vote when you don't have the ability to do so. So started off, you know, really engaging there, but then quickly moved to growing and building teams and organizing efforts for campaigns across the state of Illinois, and then moving on to other races across the country.
Smith is a 25-year-old Republican and works with a GOP political firm in Metro Phoenix. Statistically speaking, he's a demographic rarity among younger adults. One thing we know about younger voters is they aren't defined by political parties. Here's Tom Riley from ASU.
Well, if we look at voter registration, both for Gen Z and millennials, as I said, both about 52% now are unaffiliated or registered as independents. Following that, you know, about 31% are Democrats and 17% are Republicans. A little for millennials, it's about 27% Democrats and 21% Republicans.
Young voters don't have a clear definition. To some, it's people under 30 or under 35. To others, it's those boundaries between Generation X, millennials, and Gen Z. However you define them, there are broad similarities with other voting blocks and some important differences.
Well, the youth vote mirrors, in some respects, you know, the general voter. They're motivated depending upon the election, the competitiveness of the election, the hot button issues that may appear, how well the campaigns or other organizations reach out to the youth vote to explain the type of issues that might appear. So all those issues that affect the general voter also affects the youth voter. There's a wild card now that we have so many individuals that are indicating dissatisfaction with the two-party system. And, you know, one explanation for why young people perhaps are not voting the same rate as their older counterparts is that, you know, they don't have as much trust in those institutions. And they see other political activism and modes of participation as legit. For example, protests or involving in social media that, you know, they don't feel that their vote counts. So they're perhaps turning to other mechanisms.
If you ask independent Adrienne Driggs, politics has been a series of frustrating choices. Who did she vote for in the 2016 presidential election?
Trump and Hillary. I think I voted Green Party on that one. I definitely was not a Trump voter. I don't support his business ethics, so I would never have supported him politically either. but I don't really support some of Hillary's business ethics either. So I think I went middle of the road on that one.
And in 2020?
I voted Biden, but mostly because of the numbers game, which is an unfair pressure to have to vote that way. You know, to be pushed into voting for someone that you also don't like, but it's a lesser of two evils, because if you don't add your number to the one of the two bigger pools, like, it's just not going to go anywhere anyways. So I'm not a fan of any of the parties at this point, really, because the structure isn't sound.
Martin Dreyfus, another independent, agrees that today's politics doesn't inspire optimism.
Today, it feels like there's less leaders in our political community and more people kind of just following a narrative. Whether that's from the governor race to the senator race to the president race, it's kind of like a wage against each other. America has gone very much so the wrong way in climate. We have been for years. We're going the wrong way in education. We rank outside the top 10 in literacy of mathematics, sciences, and reading as well. We, for the first time ever, had a drop in our mathematical test scores, and we had the biggest drop in our reading test scores this year since 1990. We've never had a set education system in place ever, changed it multiple times, and for the first time, at least that I can see as a young man, we're not looked up to as a country anymore.
Dreyfus, who is 22, is hardly alone in his dour assessment of the State of the Union. It's a sentiment broadly shared across age groups in 2022. But young people can feel the weight of generations holding them down, with politics providing few sincere solutions. Here's Adrian Driggs again.
I think that for the millennial and younger demographics, that honestly, we have seen so much crap in our lives. We have seen so much just dumb stuff, and we are so busy and so overworked and so tired of it all. We don't care about the delivery so much as the information, and are you actually giving us just direct factual information with sources cited and details? Like, we just give us the cliff notes, give us the TLDR, and give it to us straight, because we can tell when they're bullshitting us, and nobody does that. We are the children of the boomers and the older Gen X. Like, we're the generation that has basically spent our entire lives being therapists to our parents as they realize and are coming to terms with, you know, generational trauma. And we are the ones who are going to be the first generation of parents who are really working to, like, move beyond that and not do things the way our parents did and try to change the way things are being done. But we're also the ones who are constantly getting nagged on for, you know, not being tough enough or supposedly not wanting to put in the effort. But it's like, our boomer parents did not work five jobs full time while going to college. And, you know what I mean? Like, they didn't eat ramen for, you know, 2 years to afford college.
The nation's young are more passionate about issues like racial equality, sexual preferences, and climate change. This year, there are other contenders too.
I certainly think the number one issue for young people here is the economy.
Republican Brady Smith says pocketbook issues are often overlooked for younger adults.
You know, young people feel the pinch of inflation even more so. You know, young people who are just getting out of high school, just getting out of college, they haven't hit their prime earning years yet. They're on their entry salary, and that salary doesn't go nearly as far.
Martin Dreyfus agrees that inflation is a key concern.
My father, who opens pizza shops, it's not going to be a 3% to go get the money to borrow $150,000 to build out a pizza shop location. It's going to be more likely to the rate of 15 to 20%, even with great credit. So you're not likely to open that next pizza shop. Their goal is to slow down the economy. And no American wants to hear that. No American wants to hear that we're going to make less money and things. But if we don't, either A, the economy is going to turn and collapse, or B, wages are never going to catch up to prices.
But this is the year the Supreme Court erased federal abortion rights. The women we spoke to see that as an issue of great relevance to them. Here's Democrat Maria Piaras.
issues like abortion. You know, right now we, and at least in the state of Arizona, we don't have that right. And that decision being made for us, well, at least I can speak for myself, like as a woman, as a young woman, as a woman of color, like that's very scary to think about. Like, I can't make my own decision on my own body for my own health. And that was very, like, an eye-opener for me. And it was very devastating because you never know, like, things can happen in, like, in the emergency room, and it has to come down to, like, you or them. I feel like my friends feel the, like, same way. I have a lot of, like, female friends as well. So we were all, like, very devastated, and we were, like, kind of in shock, like, when all of this happened.
This is a very important topic to me as well, because in my opinion, this is one of the like pinnacle pivot points in how society views human rights and body autonomy. It's a very important issue. It's definitely one of my top like three highest priority issues that I will vote and sign petitions for up and down board and be as active as I possibly can about.
So if young people are paying more attention, how are the parties and the candidates doing it trying to win their votes?
I think that you need to communicate in multiple ways often to reach this population. But there is some interesting research to show that when geographic areas or states or localities really focus on the issue of civic education, there seems to be a difference in participation. There's not one silver bullet, because all these issues about voter participation are interconnected and complex, but we clearly have to do things differently. And as I said, I haven't seen much evidence, at least from the party perspective, that they're acknowledging the significant number of individuals that are leaving the two-party system.
We see ads all the times on TV, but we as young people, we don't watch TV as much. You know, that's not really like what we're involved in. We're mostly like on social media and things like that.
Maria Payares is a field organizer with Next Gen America, a group that registers young voters and has an unmistakable progressive agenda. She has definite ideas about what gets younger people to take notice.
I feel like the being funny approach always works, because what we like to do on social media, we make a lot of memes. So we turn it everything into jokes as well. I don't know if you guys like are on TikTok, but on TikTok, it's just a bunch of funny videos to have like a really good time on there. So, you know, just having a, like a quick, funny approach is what gets people at least engaged, or at least will sit there and watch that video, even if it's like a 15-second video. So what was trending a lot on social media was being a hot girl. So with NextGen, we had a whole campaign called Hot Girls Vote, and we made a bunch of stickers, we made a bunch of flyers, we collabed with influencers, and everyone loves it. Like, even today, I have stickers with me. I've been handing out my Hot Girl Vote stickers, and everyone just absolutely loves it. And handing out those stickers is how I've been getting people involved.
Adrian Driggs has seen a lot of efforts, but thinks most of the messages aren't really speaking to her.
So most of the media that I see actually is a mix of both, pretty aggressively, because I'm seeing it shared from, I have a lot of really conservative family members and extended friends, but I also have a lot of really liberal friends and even some liberal family members. So I see what they're sharing all the time. I see the ads, and I've pretty certain that most social media platforms don't know how to target me as far as alignment wise, because I'm very centrist. I'm very independent voter, and I'm slightly liberal leaning on that centrist line, and slightly libertarian leaning.
I think the big thing is reaching consistently and, you know, establishing consistent communication rather than convenient timing communication, if that makes sense. You can't just message to them 3 weeks before an election and expect them to come home every time. You have to build a relationship, understand, you know, the issues that they're facing that are motivating them, that are bothering them, and to work towards accomplishing those.
One group that is trying more consistently, creatively, and emphatically is Turning Point USA, a conservative organization based in Phoenix and headed by Charlie Kirk.
I am here tonight to tell you, to warn you, that this election is a decision between preserving America as we know it and eliminating everything that we love. For decades, ruling class leaders in both parties sold out our future to China, to faceless corporations, and to self-serving lobbyists. They did it to preserve their own power and enrich themselves, all while rigging the system to hold down the good, decent middle-class patriots striving to build a family and pursue a decent life.
Whether the organization is being successful in bringing younger adults into its orbit is harder to gauge.
I think groups like Turning Point that have specifically have a mission to educate and to sway the vote of young people will have an impact. The younger population still trends to vote more Democratic and liberal. Whether it's having a very significant impact or not, I think remains to be seen.
Charlie Kirk, starting Turning Point, actually an Illinois guy himself, and seeing just the astronomical rise. You know, they have chapters in nearly every state, if not every state across the country, on college campuses, and they've been able to do kind of what exactly we were just talking about, of messaging to the young person on social media, whether it's giving them memes about Joe Biden falling off his bike, or if it's talking about, you know, issues like inflation or the cost of college, and then giving them an opportunity to engage in real life offline with, whether it be through their different conferences or whether it be through their individual chapter events, and creating that community and that buy-in. And I think Turning Point has really developed a solid model and set the bar for, if you want to engage with young people, here's how you do it.
Democrats, meanwhile, are undaunted by the growing interest on the right in trying to reach the young.
Well, I feel like we all have, of course, our own right to our own opinions and our own beliefs and things like that. But because of things like that, it's what makes me go 10 times harder in what I'm doing now. Because I'm very competitive and I always win.
For all the manpower and money put into trying to engage with a young person on campus or in a coffee shop, it isn't about registering them to vote or getting them to a political event.
You're seeing more and more young people show up at LD meetings. You're seeing more and more young people show up at gubernatorial rallies, presidential rallies, all these different items. I think that is one measure of success, but ultimately the measure of success is getting into the polls, because that's all great and fine, but if the vote's not cast, it doesn't mean anything.
That is it for today, Gaggle listeners. Do you have questions about the upcoming midterms? Maybe you're curious about another facet of Arizona's political landscape. We want to hear from you. Send us a voicemail to 602-444-0804 or email us at thegaggle@arizonarepublic.com. That's one word, all spelled out. And don't forget to rate and review our show and share it with a friend. If you want to reach out to me on Twitter, I'm at Ronald J. Hansen. That's H-A-N-S-E-N. Today's episode was edited and produced by Kaylee Monahan. You can follow her at Kaylee Monahan, K-A-E-L-Y-M-O-N-A-H-A-N. Thanks for listening to The Gaggle, a podcast from the Arizona Republic and azcentral.com. We'll see you next week.